Good morning. I don't know if it's the imagery the composer was going for, but every time we get to that bass lead, I feel like I'm in one of those movies where they're rowing under the boat, that's the song that should go along with it. I know the words say nothing like that, but for some reason. Good morning. Good to be with you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. I was, at the beginning of services, sitting right over there. And I told my wife I was having a debate about whether to go coat or no coat this morning. And my wife looks at me and says, well, if it helps, the shirt doesn't match the coat. And I said, oh, okay, I guess I'll go no coat then. So if you ever wonder how I stay humble, that's my key. Few things to mention before we get started this morning. First of all, I just want to keep reminding you about we're doing life groups on Sunday evenings. Hope you will come be a part of that. I was really excited at our group last week over at Tyler's house. One, Tyler made us homemade pretzels, which are great. But two, I looked around the room, and as we're sitting there, I thought to myself at one point, I think everyone in the room has said something during our Bible study tonight. And it was really kind of cool from age 12 to age whatever my wife and I are. Everyone in the room had said something along the way and contributed to the study or had a question. And I thought, how neat to have a place where we can do that. And so I hope if you like that kind of thing that you will consider becoming part of one of the groups. And if you're here at the building, that you will consider that an opportunity that you don't normally have here at the building, where we can sit around with one another and talk about the Word of God, talk about how it affects our lives. Much the way they probably did in the first century, where they would have got together and sat down and talked about the life of Jesus, talked about maybe the scriptures of the Old Testament or the latest letter of Paul that had come their way, and learn more about each other and what God would have us to be. So I hope you'll consider being part of one of those tonight. Also, if you are one of the men among us, we're having a men's breakfast this coming Saturday. It is a valley-wide thing, so we'll have people from several different churches in the area here, and we will be studying the life of Jonah and how we sometimes, like Jonah, can find ourselves running away from the calling that God has for us, and maybe how we can do a better job of instead turning and embracing and not having to go through the belly of the fish and all those other things to get there. Lastly, Roy mentioned Trunk or Treat that we have coming up. This is a new thing for a lot of us, but we will, in the front parking lot, line our cars up and decorate our trunks. And I don't want to go through a whole lot of this again, but just to remind you, especially if you weren't here last time, it looks something like this. We have a spider as an option, or we have, this is a superhero one. This is somebody who likes deer hunting. This is somebody who enjoys Hobby Lobby. So there's lots of options there for you. This is a group that did The Wizard of Oz, and so you can get a theme together with a couple families if you want. I would encourage you a few things. One, if this is not normally your kind of thing, I hope you'll consider it, because clearly the more cars we have out here, the better. For people as they're coming by and for people that are in our community, people who came to our VBS that we'll be inviting to this, we'd love to have a bunch of folks. So maybe even if you're a two-car family, you might want to do both cars. Kind of your call as to what you want to do. But please consider being a part of that this year. I think it'll be a good outreach event for us. All right. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. To catch us up from last time, or if you weren't here and you want to get the review, we looked at the first half of Galatians chapter 5 last week. And the theme in that first half of the chapter is that at one time we were slaves to something, and Christ has come and set us free. And for some reason, we want to keep going back to those things we were slaves to. It's one of those human tendencies we have. And one of the big themes of last time was tradition. And the Jews at the time, as these new Christians were coming in, were telling them they had to be circumcised, because that's something the Jews did and the Greeks did not. And they were binding this on them. And we talked about how we sometimes can bind things on each other that don't need to be bound. But even more than that, I think that at times we tend to want to go back to things that we are slaves to. And I don't know what that is for you. Each of us has our own struggles. Each of us has things that we tend to go back to. But for whatever reason, even though we have taken on this new creation in Christ and we are set free, we tend to try to keep going back to that same old thing over and over again, which brings us to the second half of chapter 5. So I say in verse 16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, we don't talk in these kind of terms a lot. Some of you, depending on your version of Scripture, you might have something more like sinful nature here. We don't talk about desires of flesh much. We don't talk about flesh in general a whole lot. But with being people, there come desires that are about our physical nature. I don't know what that is for you exactly. Last week, and thank you, by the way, last week we had Minister Appreciation Day. Which if you're visiting with us or you weren't here last week, was actually not my idea. I didn't even know it existed until people started coming up to me before church. And I told a minister friend of mine, it's really cool when the people who come up to you before church are bringing gifts instead of a complaint or suggestion or something like that, little gift bags of things. And I later or earlier last week, I put all these things out on my desk and took a picture of it. And I was showing it to some minister friends of how loved I am and how great everything is. And there is in my office, don't try to break in there while I'm up here, there is in my office too much candy right now. And people apparently during the week had called my wife and said, what kind of candy does he like? And she, you know, undid the scroll and started listing off all the things that I enjoy. And there's all this candy and stuff in there. And clearly for me, one of those desires of the flesh that I have to be aware of is food. I don't know what it is for you. And it's funny that sometimes it's things that we will think of in a negative light, but I will tell you, sometimes they are things that could be positive if kept within balance. And a lot of us probably have some of those. Shortly before we left Arkansas, they opened in our town CrossFit. If you're not familiar with CrossFit, you can Google it and see videos of people lifting weights in crazy ways, way too fast, and all this stuff. If you're into CrossFit, you can try to convert me later, I don't know. But we joked a lot in our town when CrossFit opened about this new cult down there in the building called CrossFit, because anyone who went to CrossFit had to tell you about CrossFit. They had to tell you about it. They posted about it on Facebook and Twitter and all these places. And it was the thing in their lives that seemed to matter so much. And people you never heard from before, it was all about CrossFit. Anything that we take to an extreme can become one of these desires of the flesh that gets in the way. Even when it's a good thing, even our families, even the events that our kids might be involved in, sometimes the events that our kids are involved in begin to rule our lives. And for whatever reason, I will look at the events your kids are involved in, and they're strange. The ones my kids are involved with are fine. Don't we do this to each other? And then we start to do that with our sins too. Well, the sin I struggle with, it's a true struggle. The sin you struggle with, it's your weakness or you're crazy. And Paul would say to us here in Galatians chapter 5, as we begin to live by the Spirit, a piece of this is the desires of the flesh need to go away. Now, that doesn't mean we stop wanting things. It doesn't mean we stop struggling with things. But what it does mean is these things don't need to be our focus. It doesn't need to be all about one of these desires of the flesh. And he continues, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. They are in conflict. Now, I will tell you that I think people in our world, and even people within church life, have gotten this whole flesh and spirit thing wrong. Because we tend to think of things in terms of this body in which we live, in this world in which we live. And then we talk about the spirit that will go on sometime after eternity. I will break some news to you this morning. The spirit's already in you. The spirit is you. You are a spiritual being housed in a flesh body right now. And I know we have trouble thinking in those terms sometimes, but it is not that we have these bodies and then at some point we'll become spirit. We're already spirit. It's the reason if you go through the Old Testament, you don't find the word spiritual. It's not there. And the reason it's not there is because spiritual is assumed. We don't have a spiritual life and a fleshly life. Our life is spirit housed within body. And so Paul would say that these flesh desires and these desires of the Spirit, they're not the same thing. And so the reason we have such conflict with it is we're trying to be someone that we're not designed to be. We're trying to do something that we're not designed to do. And we will see examples of this in life all around us where people have taken some machine, some creation that has been designed to do one thing and they're trying to do something else with it. And we'll laugh and we'll see pictures of those things and it just seems crazy that people try to operate that way. But we spend our lives doing that. We spend our lives trying to be the people that God has not designed us to be because we want to be ruled by the flesh. And God would say, no, you've been set free from that. And it's time to leave that behind. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Sounds like something we should just be able to jump and do and everything will be fine. In reality, it just keeps coming back around. We just keep going back to the same things. And then he starts to specify a little more. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I was doing pretty well until he got to jealousy and fits of rage. Doing okay until that point. And jealousy, I have it too often. Somebody has nicer things than I do. Somebody has an easier life than I do. Somebody's got it all together. And the crazy thing is, there are people that look at me and have that same jealousy. I know people that are ministers that struggle with their elders all the time. The elder-minister relationship is it's just the worst thing they have going in life. And I will say, kind of like my elders. I think they kind of like me most of the time. It's not something that I dread, having those conversations. And they will look at me and they will say, oh, I wish my job was like that. They will look at things in your life and say, man, if my life was more like Beth's life. Beth has all these grand nieces and nephews that she loves to show pictures of, and she gets excited every time one is born. And I thought to myself the other day, it's all the excitement of kids with none of the expense. She doesn't have to lose sleep at night. She can spoil them while they're around, and then the parents have to deal with that later. What a great life. And Beth would probably think, my life's not all that exciting, or maybe sometimes she thinks it is. Each of us has something that others might be jealous of. Fits of rage. If you were a Michigan fan yesterday, and if you're laughing, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not laughing, talk to one of the laughing people. I have a good friend who's a youth minister in Searcy who's a Michigan State fan. His wife thought it would be fun to stand behind him for the last 10 seconds of the game as the punt was about to begin and video him watching the game, having no idea what was about to happen. And if you didn't watch or if you've got it on your DVR, spoiler alert, they tried to punt, they fumbled the ball, Michigan State picked it up, ran in for a touchdown to win the game with no time on the clock. Unbelievable ending of a game. And he was going crazy at the end of that game. And I thought, it's not just me. I'm not the only one. And I thought to myself, I've been on both sides of that game watching my team, and I have had fits of joy, and I've had fits of anger. I have watched people mistreat my kids every now and then, and I might have a fit of anger about that. I've watched people mistreat the church or its leadership, and I might have fits of anger about that. Seems like a good, righteous kind of thing, but sometimes we lose control a little bit. Dissensions and factions. Those things never happen in church, so we can move on. Envy. Drunkenness. Orgies and the like. And we can take a list like this, and we can pick it apart, and we can see the things that I don't struggle with at all, and we start to feel good about ourselves, but we know that somewhere within these lists of things, there's a place where I'm just not where I need to be. Even if I'm putting something up on the front where it seems like everything is fine, still struggle with the envy, still struggle with the anger, still struggle with the discord sometimes. And the Spirit does not want that life for us. God does not want that life for us. He would say here, we've been set free from that, so let's do something very much different. It says the difference here is obvious. We don't want to admit that a lot of the time, that it's obvious. But I think deep down we know. deep down we know what is of the spirit and what is of the flesh, and how to try to separate those two in our minds and in our actions. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we get in a lot of times in that mode of, is this going to be on a test? We get a lot of times in the mode saying, okay, if I do this, am I going to go to hell? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not, not may not, not possibly not, not if you don't think twice, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very absolute kind of language that, as much as we want in Scripture sometimes, we don't really like in Scripture sometimes. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. So all these things of the flesh, we have got to get under control. Now, John will write about it in 1 John 2, and he will talk about don't sin. And then two verses later, he will say, but when you sin, God knows. He knows that we're not going to be perfect on this. He knows there has been one person who has ever lived on the face of the earth that has done this completely right, and that's his own son. And so what he asks of us is be as much like him as you can, with the understanding that it's not always going to be perfect, but be as much like him as you can, and don't be ruled by these fleshly things. We live in a world that celebrates these things. And God would say, don't only not celebrate them, try to not do those, not be those. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, depending on your version, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These things are the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked back several weeks ago when we were talking about judging and what it means to judge and to not judge, about the fruit that we bear. We talked about Jesus cursing the fig tree and what an odd story that was, about the fruit that we bear. Sometimes we try to do this in reverse. Now I'm going to try to be more patient. Usually doesn't work. We can try. Usually doesn't work. What God is saying to us here through Paul in the book of Galatians is, if you are living by the Spirit, your life becomes about these things, not the other things. And again, we see that in other aspects of life. When your life becomes about something, people can see that in you. People can see the interest in you. People can see they care about it. If you go to CrossFit, people know. If you're a part of whatever club, people know. If you're a fan of whatever team, people know. And God would say, if you're living by the Spirit, then people should know because of these things. Love. Are we loving each other? Look through 1 Corinthians 13 when you leave here today. Pull your Bible out and look at it. And look at the description of love there and quit thinking that's something we just look at weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That is love. Are we doing that? Does that describe the kind of love we have for each other? Do we have joy? Do we consider it joy when we face trials? Do we rejoice in the Lord always? Are we peaceful people? Where do we find peace in our lives? Are we patient people? And if we're not patient people, how can we become people of patience and joy and peace? Are we kind? When you run into someone who is truly kind, you notice, don't you? Do you know why you notice? Because you run into so many other people that are unkind. We went to a football game in Elmira yesterday. We were going around the north side of the lake. We're just passing the dam there on the north side of the lake. One of the kids realized he's forgotten his coat at the football field at Elmira. So I'm looking for the first place I can to turn around. And I finally find a place to turn around. There is forever between me and the car coming the other way. Turn left, turn around, and as I'm in the process of turning around in this little parking gravel area, the car honks at me as he goes by. I thought, did you get that out of your system? My wife said, you weren't close to any. No, I didn't do anything. I just was turning around. He was way down there. Patience. And believe me, I can use that example because I've been on the other side of that example too many times. Are we patient with each other? Or do we want it now and we have no patience for anything else? Kindness, are we kind? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Are we gentle people? And then possibly the toughest of all, self-control. We have our moments with it, but is self-control who we are? Can we control that thing that we just love to say and really doesn't need to be said? And what are we going to do? This is what the Spirit looks like. And I would bet for most of us, we haven't encountered someone like this. And it is glorious when you do. You just want to be around those people. They're encouraging. They make your life better. Their smile is contagious. They're just happy, good people. And I think that if God is saying to us here, live in the Spirit, do these things, be these things, and He has given this book to each of us, then for each of us, this is possible. So if you constantly walk through life as if you have just eaten a lemon, this is possible. If you are the most impatient person you know, patience is possible. If you have a hard time being joyful, joy is possible. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They have crucified the flesh. The way he put it at another point is, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And now, not now I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and sent himself to die for me. If this part of us has been put to death, then it's time for us to bury it and move on. And again, easier said than done. I get it. And I struggle with them too. But we got to quit going back to the same thing. We've got to quit being people that we just write it off to. It's just, you know, that's me. That's just who I am. God will understand. God wants better of you and of me than that. He sent his son here. It's no coincidence that he would use the example of this being crucified in us. This is a part of life that has ended for us. And crucified is something that's very, very close to home for the God who sent his son. He wants this to be done in our lives and wants something new for us. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's be in step with the Spirit. Now, for the infantry among us, if you've ever been in that part of the military, or for the band folk among us, you understand the idea of being in step. I remember first going out to marching band, and I thought to myself, I have mastered the trumpet, and now you want me to play it while I'm moving. What's up with this? And so I went out there, and we marched around, and they kept talking about this thing called being in step. And I thought, what in the world? And I, you know, you can kind of go to the beat if you have any kind of rhythm at all, but as far as which foot is where, who cares about all that stuff? And then they put us in uniforms, giant wool uniforms in southern Alabama where it's 100 degrees, and hats that look just like the Fred Flintstone water buffalo hats without the horns. Big, bright blue furry hats. Put our shoes on, and then they put these things on us called spats, which I had never even heard of before at that point. And if you're not spat knowledgeable, the spat is this little vinyl or leather, if you're fancy, thing that you put over your shoes. It's usually white, snaps around your shoe, and it allows your feet to be more visible. And I thought, if we're having trouble keeping in step, why do we want our feet to be more visible? This doesn't make sense to me. And so I watched the videotape for the first time, and it looked like snowfall on the ground, the way everyone's feet were every which way. And I thought, all right, now I understand. Now I get why it matters that everybody's in lockstep with each other and fits together. If we are to be in step with the Spirit, we are to be in sync with the Spirit. We are supposed to be people whose lives look like the Spirit instead of fighting against that. Because back here at the beginning of this section, if you'll remember, and I can flip back in the slides, but if you'll remember, it's supposed to be obvious to us when we're not. And believe me, when I looked at that video, it was obvious who was not in step. It's obvious if you're an athlete and you watch tape of the game, who is not in the place they're supposed to be in. It is obvious in the job that you're in when there is a mistake made and someone comes back to try to fix it and figure out where it came from. It's obvious. My wife is an accountant, and when she sees numbers that are in the wrong place, she knows all these different things you can try to figure out what happened. Things I never even knew existed. It's obvious to her because she's learned that. For all of us who are students of God and students of the Bible, it should be obvious to us when we are not living by the Spirit. And if it's not obvious to you, then take another look. Because I've been there too. I've been at times where it was not obvious to me what I should be doing, and I really somehow could excuse it and think or explain away that I'm doing the right thing or rationalize it. And Paul says to us here through the Spirit, you need to be in step with the Spirit. The life you live has got to be one different than the world around you lives. It should look different. The fruit of it should be obvious to people, and people should know there's something different about your life as you do this. Now, the beauty of all this as we're living in the Spirit is, for most of us, we have not done this since birth. You have not had it together from the moment you were born. You have not had it together from the moment you first became a Christian. You have had moments of struggle, moments where that flesh still comes around, moments where you are not completely in step with the Spirit. And because of that, we together can work with each other. Because of that, hopefully the world can realize that even though we're trying to live a different life, even though we're trying to be in step with the Spirit, we're not spending our time talking about how much better we are, because we also understand how quickly we can mess up. And we also understand what it's like to have been there. And so if you're here for the first time this morning and you don't know what we're about, we're a mess. But we're trying. We're not content in remaining a mess, I hope. We want to be better. We want to do better. We want to be in step with the Spirit, and we want to live by the Spirit. And if you look at your life this morning and you think, I'd like to do that, so would I. And some days I do it better than other days. Sometimes I can roll a week together at a time. But then I find myself getting off track a little bit too, and I want to go through that with you. And I think each of us wants to go through that together. We want to live a life for God together as His church. And if you think that's something you'd like to be a part of, we would love for you to be a part of it. We'd love for you to confess His name. We'd love for you to be crucified with Him through the death of baptism and rising into a new life. And if you've done that and you think to yourself, you know, parts of that list I'm really good at and parts of that list I really struggle with, join the club. And let's do that better together. If there are things you need to confess, things we can pray about in your life, whatever needs you may have, please come as we stand and sing.